Welcome to High Ticket Woman, the podcast for Christian women who are relationship challenged, and they know that to make changes, it starts with them wanting more, expecting more, and becoming more. Here's your host, Debbie Cottle. Lucy has a fear, and it's a crippling fear. She's had it her whole life, and now that she's in her 30s, she's struggling to even find the motivation to do something about this fear. What is she afraid of? Money. Welcome to another episode of High Ticket Woman. I'm your host, Debbie Cottle, and today we are talking about all things money related. Well, we're going to start talking about all things money related, but we're going to go beyond just today's episode. Let me first tell you a little bit more about Lucy, though. Lucy is someone who grew up in a very comfortable situation. She never wanted for anything. She has two parents who love her very much, and her dad did really well financially. So he did a great job of providing for the family, taking care of their wants and needs. But he made a mistake. He never taught Lucy about money. So she never learned how to budget. She never learned the value of money. She never learned how to spend in a healthy way or save or invest. She never learned about the necessity of learning about money. Instead, what she learned was to be dependent on her dad. And now that she's in a relationship, she's transferred that dependency onto her boyfriend. So any discussion they have around money, she doesn't like. It makes her anxious, and she shuts the conversation down after just a few minutes. She's just not comfortable talking about money. It makes her anxious. Even when she's making purchases, she doesn't think about whether or not she's staying on budget. She won't even open up the app that her boyfriend uses to track those purchases because she doesn't want to know. And at the heart of her fear is that she's going to be a disappointment. Because you see, Lucy's dad worked really hard to put her through university. And even though Lucy has a great job, okay, she makes a decent salary, in her mind, she doesn't make enough to please her dad. Whatever that amount is, she hasn't attained that amount. And it's not that her father has said she's a disappointment, because he hasn't. But she's convinced in her heart of hearts that only when she achieves a certain salary will she be worthy in his eyes. And that disappointment is now transferring to her boyfriend. Even when she's in conversation with other people, if the subject of salaries comes up and jobs comes up, she immediately feels anxious. She feels less than, because in her mind, she's not making as much as she should. In other words, she connects her worth to her salary. So she doesn't like any conversation that even approaches the topic about money. Interestingly, though, at the same time, she really doesn't have any desire to get a different career. She loves what she does. She recently got offered a raise, and she negotiated a higher raise. And while she's proud of that, and it's actually put her at a higher than industry standard for her field, she still deeply struggles with not feeling good enough in this way. And it's hugely impacted her ability to think about money, manage money, etc. At the core of what's going on with her, it makes it impossible for Lucy to change the way that she approaches her finances. It makes it impossible for her to get financial education. And while Lucy is the extreme, the truth is that a lot of us fall somewhere in the spectrum of, on one end, having our head in the sand and not wanting to talk about money, not wanting to think about money, all the way to the other end of the spectrum, which we might say is a person who has vast financial knowledge and who uses money and understands how to acquire money, et cetera. They're very educated on money, right? So there's the spectrum, right? People who don't know anything and don't want to know versus the people who are very, very educated. Most of us fall somewhere between those two extremes. Well, what about you? Where do you fall? And why does this even matter as a high-ticket woman? Well, it matters a whole lot because the way that you think about money determines the way that you handle money. And the way that you handle money determines the kind of life that you're going to have and the kind of relationships that you're going to enjoy or not enjoy. Money, in fact, can be a huge predictor of your happiness, not just having money, but the way you feel about money and the way you think about money. Because yes, money is linked to happiness, and I'm going to prove that to you. Before I do that, though, I think it's really important for us to just understand what money is and what money does for us. You know, money really just boils down to a means of payment. And yeah, in our current society, we use currencies, right? In the US, it's the dollar bill and coins. In other countries, they have different names for their currencies. We use paper money, right? But, you know, there have been plenty of times in the past where people paid for things using some other type of currency. People have used gold. People have used, horses as a means of payment. People have used, you can take anything, right? You could pay for something using, pizzas or basketballs or, anything you want, as long as there was value in what you're paying for, right? If you're in prison, cigarettes are a hot commodity, right? So that would be maybe a form of currency to trade or barter using whatever has value. So that becomes your form of money. Pizzas, basketballs, horses, right? That's a form of money in a bartering type of system, which we used to have, right? You know, if I wanted your milk cow and I had a couple really well-trained horses and you needed horses and I needed the milk cow, well, there's our currency, right? Are my two horses worth a good milk cow? Well, if I think that's a good trade and you think that's a good trade, then we have a deal. Or maybe I have a really good pair of shoes and you need a pair of shoes, but you got a couple chickens that I want so that I can have fresh eggs every day, so on and so forth, right? And, there was a time, again, that we used to do that. For example, a doctor back in the day might take payment in food or chickens or something like that as goods for his services. And there's certainly been times when I have bartered my coaching services for some other type of service, right? So I might provide you some sort of coaching in exchange for access to knowledge that you have. Maybe you have some sort of service, program that I need, and we might exchange our services for what each other has. That is a form of money, okay? So that's just all it is. Money is a way for us to be able to buy or access something that we want, to move ourselves in a certain direction. Money provides the vehicle by which we can make that transaction. That's it. Just a way of exchange. I have something you want and vice versa. And while money at its most basic form is just a means of doing a transaction, there's a whole lot more to understanding money than just the basic math of how much of what I have is worth what you have, right? Two horses for your one milk cow or one pair of shoes for your two chickens. That's just math. But what's more, even more important when it comes to understanding money is the psychology behind money. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought that there's a whole psychology about understanding money? It's absolutely true. What do I mean by psychology? Well, there's a whole emotional dimension to money. And we know this to be true because you're having an emotional reaction right now to me even bringing up money. It provokes some kind of emotion in you, just like Lucy and her fear that she has associated with money. You have emotions around money yourself. So what are those emotions? Do you get excited when you think about money? Do you get anxious? Do you feel guilty? There's something, okay? You might have positive emotions. You might have uncomfortable emotions. There may be stress and anxiety. So let's just look at each of these for a second because there are all kinds of common types of emotions that we have around money. In fact, probably the most leading cause of stress for people in their lives is conversation about money. I mean, just think about that in your own life. What did you see between your mom and dad growing up? How many times did you see them fighting over money, over how money was earned, over how money was spent? One person in the relationship might have been a spender. One might have been a saver. One might have been very much wanting to, you know, get into making investments, and the other one was super risk averse, and that scared them. Okay. How many times did you see your mom and dad argue over money? How many times have you yourself argued with a partner over money, right? Not having enough, being able to pay the bills, impulsive spending, and the consequences of that that lead to even health implications because there's so much stress and anxiety over money. One of the top things that I see couples fight about is either money directly or the extension of money, like how we spend it, how we save it, what we spend it on, how we spend our recreation time. Where are we going to go on vacation? How much is it going to cost? How are we going to put the kids through school? What kind of car are we going to buy? Can we even afford to buy a car or a house? And on it goes, right? So much emotion. And the most common type of emotion around money is fear, just like Lucy. Now, again, she's the extreme. But we can have a lot of fear, and fear can be a big motivator when it comes to making financial decisions, okay? Decisions about what to do in life, what to buy, what not to buy. And again, some people are much more risk tolerant. Some people are very averse to parting with their monies or with their money or how they part with their money. Fear of not having enough, fear of making the wrong decisions and what that might mean. Another emotion that really can play into this is guilt, because we can have a lot of regrets for decisions we've already made. There may be patterns in our life, again, like impulsive buying, right? Retail therapy, or sometimes the other extreme, we're too frugal. And we've made decisions that have impacted relationships and we have regret. I wish that I had let myself enjoy that relationship more. I wish I hadn't been so tight. I wish I hadn't been so extreme in my desire to hang on to money, because I lost that relationship as a result. Or I lost it because I threw money away. Or I was in a relationship with somebody and I blew a lot of money, or I made rash money decisions, or I let somebody take advantage of me financially. So again, that guilt and that regret. And the last thing that we want is to be on our deathbed wishing, you know, our money's all piled up. We acquired a lot of wealth and we didn't enjoy our life. We didn't do anything with the money. You know, we were super miserly. You know, nobody wants to be in that position either. What good does that do us, right? Having a pile of money in the bank, because we can miss out on so many things. So there's where the guilt and the regret can come in. On the flip side, we can have a lot of positive emotions when we think about money. We can feel very satisfied with the decisions we've made. We can feel like, hey, I've become very financially successful. I have a friend who has successfully paid off all her student loans because she was very consistent. She laid out a plan for herself. She implemented that plan. And now she owes absolutely no money to the government for her student loans. And so she feels a lot of satisfaction around that financial decision. My husband, he loves investing. He's really into the stock market and investing in crypto and all of that. And I think that's great. Okay. I don't have a lot of knowledge in that area, but you know, he gets really excited when he makes a financial decision that works out and he comes to me and he's got, you know, big smile on his face and he wants to tell me all about it and what he did and how it worked. And I love seeing that joy that he gets out of, you know, applying some sort of knowledge that he has and then it works out. Me, I'm more of a real estate kind of girl, right? I've owned properties in the past and I've had tenants and, you know, there's a downside to that, but there's a great upside to it too. And so I've definitely experienced the highs and the lows around getting the right tenants and the wrong tenants. The ones who pay you on time every month and take care of your place and the ones who trashed your place and or have to be evicted, right? Again, lots of emotion. We can have hope when it comes to money, hope for the future, big plans that lead us to make certain financial decisions like saving up for something or investing in ourselves or in our education or our personal growth or self-care. We might aspire to achieve something and there's a price tag attached to that. So we're willing to pay that price and we can make poor financial decisions because we aspire to something that's unrealistic. Maybe we set the bar too high. We believe we're capable of doing something that we don't actually have the training or understanding or knowledge. And so we throw money away in the hope of achieving some greater gain, only to maybe suffer a big loss. So I want you to think about the emotions that you have around money, because the key to understanding those emotions is absolutely essential to having a healthy and balanced approach to managing your finances. So what do you feel when it comes to money? What do you feel when it comes to talking about money? What emotions come to the surface? Because again, being a high ticket woman means being aware, being intentional. And yes, that includes money. So next time, all about money mindsets, because we've all got them. Some are good, some are not so good. Some we're aware of, some we're not. At least not yet. That's it for today. Short episode. Don't forget to go grab my 10-step relationship rescue roadmap by going to debbiecaudle.com. That's Debbie, DebbieCaudle.com. And go check out the other freebies. There's a tab on my website for freebies. So there's a bunch of other resources that I think will really benefit you as well. I'll see you next week. For more episodes, just go to debbiecaudle.com. And while you're there, get your free copy of my guide, 10-Step Relationship Rescue Roadmap.